Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and worship and praise as we bow our hearts before you, Lord, knowing that you are the Lord our God, who is our sanctifier, Yahweh Mukadesh, Father. And Father, we know, Lord, that ultimately, Lord, we must be a people holy unto you, Father. For without holiness, O God, we cannot belong to you, Father. And holiness is the reality of us belonging to you, Father. Holiness is the reality of us being set apart unto you, Father. And so, Father God, as you work, O Lord, the wonder of your name, Father, into us, Yahweh Mukadesh, Father, we pray that you will sanctify us so that we will be holy, because you are a holy God. And we pray, Lord, that we will receive of the substance of the Master's fullness that will enable us to unveil in righteousness and holiness of the truth, Father. A people set apart unto you, sons of the living God, vessels yielded, O God, to your purposes. Set apart unto you, Father, vessels, O God, that belong to you, Father. So bless us, O God, with your word. And as your word is manifested in us, we ask, O Lord, that you will sanctify us. Sanctify us by circumcising our hearts in holiness unto you, Father. We pray for that reality to be built and developed in our lives in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, Lord. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to truly do a work in us, Lord, so that we will rise into the mount of the Lord to be set apart unto the Lord our God, that we will realize the reality of being tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. To be a people, O God, chosen, to be a people set apart to your purposes. To be a people, O God, who truly have a sense of destiny in our lives, O God. Destiny, O God, in our hearts. We pray for this realization to come forth in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 31. We have introduced the name Yahweh Nisi. And we have unveiled the reality of our witness having the capacity to function as the rod of God. Jesus Christ, the reality of Jesus Christ within us, the reality of his witness and his testimony is the rod of God. And with the rod of God, we are meant to manifest the word that God means to perform. And we can manifest that word in many different forms. But before we get into the deeper realities of the witness, we must understand a word called holiness. So in Exodus chapter 31, God talks about holiness in the context of a Sabbath. So let's read from Exodus 31 from verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, You shall surely observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. We are sanctified to be holy unto God. Verse 14, Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. And when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. So under the law, the Sabbath was a specific day, and it was compulsory for it to be whole, to be a day of holiness. And the law declared that those who defiled the Sabbath were to be put to death. God is pointing to something that is very necessary for you and me to understand under the new covenant. And we want to look at this Sabbath in the context of the new covenant. It's very important for us to understand that in verse 13, God tells us, "You shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." So you will note that the observance of the Sabbath was something that Jesus had very much to say about in his ministry. He was not impressed with the legalistic manifestation of the observance of the Sabbath. And God points to that reality by giving his name, Yahweh Mukadesh, M-apostrophe-K-A-D-D-E-S-H. Yahweh Mukadesh, right? I am the Lord who sanctifies you. He points to the fulfillment of the Sabbath by saying that the Lord is the one who sanctifies us. And that is something that is pointing to the new covenant, actually, because unless God sanctifies us, we will not be able to observe the Sabbath rest. All right? We may physically refrain from doing work, but the Sabbath is more than just not doing work. The Sabbath is meant to be a reality in which we come to rest in God. And this is what the writer to the Hebrews, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, talks about when he talks about the Sabbath. And he talks about the Sabbath as a reality that is alive to us today. Alright, so let's look at verse chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore let us fear lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it." See, now he is talking about a promise of entering his rest. And that promise is actually coming out of the reality that God's name, Yahweh Mukadesh, is the reality of God being our sanctifier. And so we are sanctified by promise. We are sanctified by promise, and that reality of being sanctified by promise, we are called to enter into. Verse 2, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them." He's talking about the people in the wilderness who rebelled against God, who refused to rest in him, and therefore lost their great position in God. One whole generation was destroyed in the desert, because although they saw the signs of God, they refused to rest in the reality of his greatness. Although he demonstrated that greatness, they chose to live another way. They chose not to receive his witness. And therefore they could not rest in him. And because they could not rest in him, when they entered positions in which they were tested, they failed the test. They grumbled. They came against Moses. They caused trouble. They caused problems. They started talking about if we could go back to Egypt, and if we could have this and we could have that. And therefore they lost that position that God had for them. Right? And that whole generation died in the wilderness. All right? So God is talking about a promise, the promise of entering the Sabbath rest, because this rest is very necessary if you and I are going to realize the promises of God, because God is talking about things that are far beyond our capacities to do in ourselves. By now you should have understood that. In the unveiling of the name of God as the Most High God, God is talking about a position in the secret place of the Most High God. Now that is impossible for us to attain to in ourselves. It is a reality we have to enter into, right? By God's grace. So when God opens the name Almighty God, he says, I will circumcise your heart, right? And I will make you sons of God, and I will bring you into this reality. And for that purpose, Jesus Christ was given. Because in Jesus Christ, we are meant to realize all that God will provide for us in the spirit and life of Jesus. And in the spirit and life of Jesus, we will come to rest in God even as Jesus was able to rest in God. So you must understand that God wants us to realize what he has given to us in Jesus Christ. What he wants us to realize is the ability to rest in him. Because if you don't rest in God, You are not going to see him come through and do the impossible in your life, because you will be troubled and you will not move in the things of God. So the hallmark of spiritual growth is always this ability to rest in God. This ability to rest in God and to know that God is in charge of your life. To know what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. To know that you have a future. To know that although you go through testings and trials and tribulations, and although you go through valley experiences, you will come through the valley of death and darkness, and you will manifest the righteousness of your God. You will realize a new life. And the ability to go through, grow in God, is dependent on this ability to rest in Him. Are you with me? All right?
Okay.
Verse 2 again. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. See, in order for us to rest in God, we must have faith. Faith is the bridge between you and me. You and me and God. It is only through faith that you can realize what God is talking about. Because if you don't have faith in God, you cannot communicate with God. You cannot please God, neither can you communicate with God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says it is impossible to please God without faith. And the hallmark of true faith is to understand that He is a rewarder of that faith. He is God, and He will reward you in that faith. So this reality of being able to rest in God is something that you realize from Him. He has got to manifest it. He has got to sanctify you so that you can rest in Him. So that you know that you are set apart unto Him. You belong to Him. And if you belong to Him, then God will also protect you, and God will also nourish you, and also God will lead you. Even as He takes you through correction and through molding processes, God will bring forth the reality of you being at rest in Him. All right? He's moving towards that, right? He's moving towards that. All right. So let's read on. Verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest. Just as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as been said before, today if you hear His heart, do not harden your hearts. Today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And you see that the focus is no longer on a day. It is on a reality called a Sabbath rest. All right? Two prophetic names are being mentioned there. David. David means the well-beloved. Which means that in order to rest in God, you must come to love God. You must come to realize His love. Joshua represents the reality of Yahweh saves. That is what the name Joshua means. All right. So there are two realities He's talking about. That's why He's talking about Joshua and David. All right. Those two names are prophetic names, and they're meant to prove something to you. They're meant to open something to you. That this rest in God is a result of His salvation, and this rest in God can only be realized as you come to love Him. And you can only come to love Him as you realize His love for you. So you can't cook this rest. It is a rest that has to be realized in your inward parts. And in that rest, God sanctifies you. God makes you holy. He makes you come to belong to Him. You can only belong to God as you rest in Him. Right? Because rest represents a trust in God. It represents the realization of a hope that has been manifested in a perfected faith that now trusts in God. Today, as we are here today, There is a certain level of rest that most of us have attained to. Right? It is a rest that is alive inside of us. It's the work of God within us. So he says there in verse 9, there remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest, right? Look at the word his. The word his, the H is in capitals. So he's talking about God's rest, the rest that comes from God, the rest that is in God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works. Now it's a small H. Can you see that? So this rest means that we learn how to function by God, through God, in God. Instead of trying to do things in our own strength, do things in our own abilities. You understand what I'm saying? This Sabbath rest is a very powerful idea. God is telling you that you can only realize what he has for you as you learn to enter into his rest. You have to learn how to function by him. If you function in your own strength, you're denying yourself of what God has for you. All right? So he says, he's asking you that the one who has entered God's rest rests from his works. That means our own works. We rest from our own works, okay? As God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. So rest. So that is what is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. The ability to rest in God. The ability to rest in God, to trust in him, and to see God move through your life. To learn how to function by God. To learn how to function in God. Now this word rest doesn't mean a do-nothing state. It is telling you that instead of trying to live your life in your own abilities, you now live your life in what God supplies. And this is what God means by life. That's why God said under the law, if you break the Sabbath, you will die. If man keeps on trying to strive by his own self, he will perish. Because you cannot live in your own strength. Eternal life. All that comes out of the word eternal exists in what God is and who God is and all that God is. It is sustained by God. It cannot be sustained by a creature. So this Sabbath rest is crucial to the eternal life that God is talking about. He's talking about a new way of living. He's talking about a new way of living. A way of living in a rest in which you belong to God and you know that you belong to God. So if you're going to see the power of God move through your life, you have to learn how to rest in him. Right? If you mean to function in this position that is called the secret place of the Most High God, that position is a rest. It is a rest that is unveiled under the shadow of the Almighty. He's talking about the power of God Almighty. So God is telling us something, right? We have all learned how to live in our own selves. We struggle, we strive, we work hard, and we work hard, and we work hard, and then we see things disappear. That's the testimony of our lives. That is the testimony of human lives. You can work as hard as you want, achieve all that you want, and then see all that you achieve disappear. Lose its relevance in your life. It doesn't matter how talented you are, it doesn't matter how intelligent you are, it doesn't matter how well you can marshal an organization together. And how well you can market things and sell things. Ultimately, there will come a point in your life when you will see all that you have struggled for and earned for die. So what is God trying to say? Under the law, he said, if you break the Sabbath, you will die. And that's experiential to each one of us. If you don't learn how to rest in God and draw life from him, then all you will experience in your life, all that will be a witness to you, will be a witness of death. You will see things being destroyed in your life over and over again. Right? Are you with me? So you and I have to learn how to rest in God. That's what Yahweh Mukadesh is all about. The ability to rest in God. But the ability to rest in God is something he brings into your life as he sanctifies you. Yeah? As he sanctifies you. Makes you holy. Okay? Being holy means to be set apart unto God. Realizing that you have a purpose in God And realizing you have a purpose in God means that you know that that purpose can only be realized in and by and through God. You cannot do it in your own human strength. That's what this name means. You can't do it in and by in your own strength. If you're going to be the Christian that God wants you to be, you have to learn how to rest in God and let God be God. If you're going to be the vessel that God wants you to be, you have to learn how to rest in God and let God be God. Now this you cannot cook up. It has to be built in a relationship. So as God brings you into this rest, you have to fight a battle. That's what Yahweh Nisi was all about. You have to fight a battle in your own life. You have to fight a battle to deal with your own character, your own fleshly desires. You have to learn to crucify it. Are you with me? So in our baptism it is said that we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into Christ and into His death. What is the purpose of being baptized into Christ and into His death? So that you will come to find a rest in God, so that you will rise in His power and live a new life. And that power, this new life that rests in God, is entirely energized by resurrection power. Everything that you do in spirit, soul, and body is meant to manifest in resurrection power. Are you with me? Okay? So our job is to move towards that direction. Our job is to understand that if we are going to mature in God, we have to learn how to rest in Him. If we don't learn how to rest in Him, you're not going to go very far, right? Which is why if you try living a Christian life in your own strength, ultimately within a very short span of time, you will find that your Christian life tapers off. That trying harder is not an answer. You have to learn how to rest in Him. You've got to learn how to allow God to come through in your life. You've got to allow God to create you. You've got to allow God to circumcise your heart. You've got to allow God to teach you. You've got to allow God to enable. You've got to allow God to build that witness in Him. So this rest is a witness, all right? It's a witness inside of you. You can't cook it up. You either can rest in God or you can't rest in God. All right? But that rest is built into us in different measures of the fullness of Jesus Christ. If you look, right? If you look at the lives that many of us already lead, we may be in trouble, but surprisingly, inside we have peace. That is a hallmark of the Sabbath that you have realized. Logically speaking, you should be very troubled. Logically speaking, everything around you seems to be crashing down. The problems seem to be insurmountable. But surprisingly, inside of you, there is a rest. And if you are at rest on the inside, then you don't get worked up about things. You don't try and, you know, you don't try and work yourself out of something, right? Don't try and wangle a deal, or, you know, and try and manipulate people or go out and accuse people of this and that and everything else, right? If you know how to rest in God, then God is in charge of your life. So that rest is a testimony that you know that God is alive to you and you know that God is in charge of your life and you are able to rest in Him. So if you look at yourself, you find that that rest is there. And sometimes we choose not to respond to that rest. We choose to respond to the problem, and then the darkness increases. Right? Someone provokes you, or someone does something that you don't agree with. You blow your top, or you try to go and work a solution, and in the end you see the darkness has just grown. What has happened? You have tried to find a solution for yourself. And in that whole process, you have lost touch with God. So it's very important to understand what this rest means. So to realize this rest, you have to look at how Jesus thought. All right, let's look at John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." If you read through the entire gospel, you will never see a statement saying that Jesus ran. Jesus never ran. He took his time and he just went from place to place and he preached the gospel. He was never hurried in whatever he did. For 18 years he sat in a carpenter's workshop and worked his hands in wood. In spite of the fact that he was brilliant. And that was already demonstrated when he was 12 years old. He was at rest in God. He just waited for God to bring forth what was purposed in his life. I would like to tell you that this doesn't mean Jesus did nothing. Jesus knew how to wait on God, and he knew how to wait for God to lead him. When God said, "Work your hands in wood for 18 years," he said, "That's fine with me." So he says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative unless it is something I see God doing." He learned how to watch what God was doing. And then he said he did things in like manner, and that's the key. If you rest in God, then you will do the things that God wants to do. And when God does the things that he wants to do, they will be a demonstration of the power of God. They will be a demonstration, right, of the excellence of God. They will be a demonstration of the brilliance of God. See, God has chosen you and me. God created man so that man could live by the brilliance of God. But man chose to live by his own brilliance. And he's found out that that brilliance that is supposed to be his doesn't last. You can shine like a star for a moment in time, and then it's all gone. You're just a shooting star. But in the Bible, we are called morning stars, which means that this is a rising star. But for this star to keep on rising and to keep on rising, you have to rest in God. Because if you try and struggle, this beats all the logic that you know. Because you know that anything that is started in the natural has to come to an end in the end. You can't sustain it. For you to be a morning star, prophetically speaking, only God can manifest that reality. It is unknown in the natural universe for a person to just keep on rising in God and keep on rising forever and forever and forever and forever. You listening? But for us to be able to rise like that, we must be able to rest in him. If you strive, you will lose the whole thing. Now that doesn't mean you don't work hard, and it doesn't mean you don't work hard at your ministry, and you don't work hard at your work, at the things you do every day. But what it means is that in your inward parts, you're resting in God. You're not troubled by what happens around you. You're not troubled by world situations and circumstances. You're not troubled by what other people do. You are at rest in God. You know that God's hand is upon your life. You need to understand this. It doesn't mean you don't go to a university and get yourself an education. It doesn't mean you should not get a good job. What it means is you've got to answer the call that is inside of you. And as you answer the call, you have to learn how to rest in God and allow God to enable you to live. Right? As you learn how to live by God, you begin to die to yourself. And you begin to rest in God. Can you see this? So as you learn to rest in God, you die to your flesh. You die to your, right? You exchange your abilities for the abilities of what God has given you in Jesus Christ. You learn how to do things through Christ who strengthens you, and not learn how to do things in your strength. You're learning how to live. And this life that God is talking about, this eternal life, is a rest. It is a rest in God. Jesus understood that, right? So he says, if you learn how to rest in God, then what he does, you can also do in like manner. Right? Verse 20, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel." Now you have received the fullness of Jesus Christ, John 1:16. Now the purpose of that fullness is so that you will learn how to rest in God and realize what God has given you in Jesus Christ. Right? For you to realize what God has given you in Jesus Christ, you have to learn to understand. Right? You have to learn how to understand that you are set apart unto God. The reason why God has given you the fullness of Jesus Christ is because he's got a great purpose for your life. And I'm very excited about that because, it's so much alive to me. Right? So if God says wait, I'll wait. 5 years, 10 years, I'll wait. And That's what God is trying to say. You learn how to wait on me. You learned to let me be God. You learn how to let me be the Most High God. You learn how to let me be the Almighty God in your life. You learn how to let me be your provider. You learn how to let me be your shepherd. I will lead you. You learn how to let me be your healer. You learn how to let me be the banner over your life. You learn how to realize that you are called to serve me. You are called for my purposes. If you're going to realize that, you have to learn how to rest in me. Now, all this you cannot realize out of your own intelligence. You can only realize this as you receive of Jesus Christ, because the only person who rested in God in the entire scriptures is Jesus Christ. The only one who really knew what the true meaning of a Sabbath rest is Jesus Christ. So you see, the ultimate test on the cross for him was when the Holy Spirit left him, and for the first time in his life he was troubled. Troubled in the real sense of the word. He was alone. And those 3 hours on the cross was a battle to realize that rest. And when he realizes that rest, he says, "It is finished, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And Romans chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 says that when the spirit of Jesus was tested or judged, it was found to be the spirit of holiness. So he was at rest in God as he gave his spirit to the Lord. That was the victory. That was the victory. That realization of that rest. It's tremendous, isn't it, to realize a rest when you're nailed to the cross. If you and I are going to realize this rest, it has to come in and off and through him. You can't cook this up yourself. You try and live it by the law, you will never make the grade. You will just end up where the Jewish people ended up. When God gave that law, he just wanted to tell them that there is a reality in him where they need to rest in him. When Moses got angry with God, what happened? He struck the rock, right? God said, "Speak to the rock." He struck the rock. What happened? He lost his rest in God. When he lost his rest in God, he got angry. And God said, "You cannot enter the promised land." Why did God do that in Moses' life? Was he being cruel? No, he's trying to demonstrate that if the human race doesn't rest in God, it cannot realize what God has for them. Some of us think that we can make God do what we want him to do. It'll never happen. On a sustainable basis, he will never do it. You have to learn how to do what God wants you to do. The other way around, it will never happen. Yes, there are tremendous promises in the scriptures. If you're going to walk into those scriptures, you have to learn how to rest in him. And to learn how to rest in him, you have to receive and realize of the spirit and life of Jesus. You have to receive and realize of the testimony and witness of Jesus Christ. You have to learn how to realize the witness and testimony of Jesus. Because the witness and testimony of Jesus is a proclamation of the Sabbath that Jesus realized in God. Garden of Gethsemane, right? He sweat blood, but he learned how to rest. Are you with me? And because he was at rest, when Peter struck that soldier, right? He said, "Put your sword away. This is not that kind of a battle." Right? And he healed that person. Because he was at rest, when his captors came towards him, they fell back because of the power that was coming out of him. He was at rest. That's why when he went through his trial, he didn't seek to defend himself. The natural instinct of a human being would be to defend yourself. He did not. He was at rest. And he answered all questions calmly and coolly. Right? In spite of the fact that they spat on him, they slapped him and they humiliated him, he never reacted to it. Why? Because he was at rest in the Lord. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So the power that we talk about, you know, we think it is just to do signs and wonders. The power, the real power, is the power to rest in Him. From that rest, all things will come forth in the power of God. And you and I will be really amazing vessels of the Lord. Okay? So this reality of the Sabbath is very crucial to what you become in the long run. Because if you cannot be holy unto God, ultimately you cannot live. That's why the Sabbath law was so severe. God is trying to put across a principle that if you and I don't learn how to be holy to God, we cannot belong to God. If you don't belong to God, how are you going to live? Who is going to sustain you? You don't have a choice in the matter. God is telling you a fact of life. I am the life. If you don't belong to me, how are you going to draw life from me? The whole act, the whole reality of belonging to me is your ability to draw life from me continually. Because you're drawing life from me, you can rest in me. Because you know I am your strength, you can rest in me. Because you know your future is sewed up in me. You know you will live forever. Therefore, death doesn't bother you anymore. Yeah? So this rest is crucial to what God wants to bring forth. And this rest is really the reality of who God is in your life. All right? Let's look at a couple of other passages on this reality of Yahweh Mukadesh. All right? Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 22. Verse 31 to 33. So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. And you shall not profane my holy name, but I will be sanctified among the sons of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. It's very important for us to understand, for the Lord to be our God, He has to sanctify us. That's what God is really trying to say. That's why He phrased His name as, I am the Lord your God who sanctifies you, Yahweh Mukadesh. I sanctify you. I make you holy. Holiness is the work of God in your life. So He says, you will obey all my commandments. Right? Now, you and I can't do that. But God is saying that as you come to rest in me, as you come to depend on me and draw from me, I will bring the fulfillment of the law into you, and you will come alive to the fact of what I can do with you. And as you begin to see me bring those realities alive to you, you will learn to rest in me. Under the law, nobody achieved it. He said it, you should obey me. Right? You should obey my commandments. You should do exactly what I tell you. Obviously, nobody could do that. The only person who came and did all that God wanted him to do was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ then becomes the blueprint for you and me. And how is He the blueprint? He's the blueprint because in Him is this ability to obey God. In His nature and His character is the willingness to obey God, the desire. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3 says that He will delight in the fear of the Lord. Right? To fear God is to be holy unto Him. And it says that Jesus Christ came to establish this reality, to take delight in the fear of the Lord. To take delight, that means to be ecstatic about obeying God. And you realize that that is the only way you can obey God. If you try and obey God by your willpower, it will not work. It will work for 2 days. Maybe work for 3 years. Because you have a tremendous willpower. But it's not sustainable. So God has to sanctify you. So this verse, I mean these three verses, is actually, in a real sense, it is like a contradiction. God says, so you shall keep my commandments and do them, I am the Lord. Because I am the Lord, you shall do my commandments and you shall keep them. And you shall not profane my holy name. But I will be sanctified among the sons of Israel. That means, right, my name will be holy to you. You will use my name properly. And then he says something that seems to contradict the whole thing. He says, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Right? So you've got to understand this in the context of the whole scriptures. Right? You must understand that I am who sanctifies you is how you are going to be sanctified. It is the only way in which you can sanctify the name of God. It is the only way in which, right, you can obey the Lord your God. God has got to bring that inside of you. Are you with me? So in this name, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. God is talking about how the law will be fulfilled. The fulfillment of the law is what? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? Ultimately, what does that result in? Holiness to God. I belong to God. Everything in my life is built on this reality of loving God. I belong to Him and I love Him. I'm set apart unto Him. Are you with me? Okay. So God has to sanctify us, and He can only sanctify us through the fulfillment of the law. Alright? So if you turn back to Exodus chapter 31, you will find that after telling the people about the Sabbath rest, about the Sabbath day, verse 18 says, right? From verse 12 to verse 17, he talks about the Sabbath. You shall keep the Sabbath. It shall be holy. Verse 18, he says, and when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony. Tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Are you with me? What do those two tablets of stone represent? The tablets of your heart, correct? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. All right? You are a letter of Christ. You are an epistle of Christ. Written, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on fleshly human hearts. Or human hearts of flesh. Are you with me? That's the only way the law could be fulfilled. Right? So, Yahweh Mekadesh is the God who brings forth that realization. I will sanctify you. And how will He sanctify you? He will sanctify you by manifesting in you the heart that is a realization of His laws. In fulfilled terms. Are you with me? And we have done teaching that that is a circumcised reality. So if you're going to be a man of God, God has to build you in these terms. If you're going to be a man of God, God has to build you in these terms. You have to learn how to rest in God and let Him build you step by step by step. You have to learn not to run ahead of God. If you run ahead of God, you're going to manifest your own works, and you will find that ultimately you will build altars that have to be torn down. So you have to wait, and if God says you can't move, you can't move. That doesn't mean you do nothing. What it means is you do what you're doing now. You take full opportunity of what is open to you, and you do what you're doing now until God opens a new door. And when God opens a new door, you walk into that door. And then God will develop you step by step by step by step. How to speak, how to talk, how to learn, how to receive, how to release. And you are in that process learning how to rest in God. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. All right? So in the New Testament, Jesus Christ comes and tells us that unless you eat of my flesh, you have no life in you. So those tablets of the human heart are of His fullness. And we've done teaching on that, so much of teaching on that. And that's the only way you can be sanctified unto God. So in the reality of creating in you a heart of flesh that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ, God is sanctifying you. And He's bringing you forth as being holy unto Him. Okay? Let us now look at John chapter 6, verse 51. John chapter 6, verse 51. In verse 48, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. So this living bread is his flesh. And this living bread is the I am of his fullness. I am the living bread. Now this living bread is my flesh. Are you with me? And this is what enables you to be sanctified. Okay? I want to take from the Old Testament two pictures of this reality of the bread of life. Okay, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 21. Leviticus chapter 21. There's a strange verse that comes out in verse 22. Leviticus 21 verse 22. He just simply makes a statement. He may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. He shall eat of the bread of his God. Amen. So Jesus Christ comes and he says, I am the living bread. And in the law, it was foreshadowed that there would be something called the bread of his God. Are you with me? So the priesthood ate the bread that was on the table of showbread. But they never really ate of something called the Most Holy, because ultimately the bread of the Most Holy was symbolized by a jar full of manna that was put into the Ark of the Covenant. People didn't eat it, but when they were in the wilderness, they ate that bread. Right? But God asked Moses to take that bread, put it in a jar, and when the bread stopped coming, that jar of the bread was just put inside the Ark of the Covenant, it was sealed. Are you with me? But here is a strange statement. It says, you shall eat of the bread of the most holy and the holy. Of the holy was called the bread of the showbread. Huh? The bread that is called the showbread. And the bread of the showbread is called the bread of the presence. Turn with me to Exodus 25. Exodus 25 verse 30. Now in the King James Bible it says showbread, okay? But in the New American Standard, it translates that word showbread for you. And it gives you, this is what it reads from the New American Standard. Exodus 25 verse 30, and you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times. The bread of the presence before me at all times. Are you with me? Okay? So for you to be able to rest in God, you must be in his presence at all times. At least your inward parts must be alive to that. Can you see the picture? All right. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 4 verse 7. Numbers chapter 4 verse 7. Over the table of the bread of the presence, they shall also spread a cloth of blue and put on it the dishes and the pans and the sacrificial bowls and the jars for the libation, and the continual bread shall be on it. Okay? It doesn't come out in your King James, but it comes out in the New American Standard. Okay? It's also called the continual bread. Are you with me? He's giving you a picture of what this Sabbath rest is, being able to continually be in the presence of God. Can you understand that? All right? Catch the picture? All right. How do you enter into this? Very simple. It comes through the word hope. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 rather. Verses we have done before, but God is re-emphasizing over and over again that his word is watertight. It is interlocked, okay? It is interlocked, okay? Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I'm reading from the New American Standard again. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. I want you to look at the word, the phrase, anchor of the soul. You can have your soul anchored behind the veil. And it is a continual reality. provided your hope is on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're illustrating a simple principle. As you learn how to rest in God, your soul will continually be anchored behind the veil, increasingly. What does that mean? You don't get worked up about things that are happening around you. Are you with me? You learn how to rest in the Lord. And that is part and parcel of this reality of realizing, right? The reality of the continual bread, right? The bread of the presence. You're anchored behind the veil. You know, Moses' tabernacle was divided into three parts, right? The Holy of Holies, the holy place or the tent of meeting, and the outer court. And that is very similar to our human body, our human being. We have a spirit, and our spirit man is created for communion with God. Our spirit is equal to the Holy of Holies. That's the design of our spirit man. Your soul man is meant to be anchored in the presence of God. It's your soul. Currently, our soul is anchored on a lot of other things. But as God brings us to rest in Him, as this reality of the continual bread is built into us, we learn how to anchor our soul in the realities of God. Our body is the outer part of our being that reacts with the world that we live in. Okay? Are you with me? So this continual bread is substance, all right? So what is God trying to demonstrate to you? That this reality of holiness is substance. Bread of the holy, substance. Bread of the most holy, substance. Are you with me? It is not just an airy-fairy idea. Right? For you to have a thought that I belong to God, it has to be manifested in substance. Right? So how is God building the witness within you? Substance and witness. In the substance comes the witness. In the strength of the substance is the strength of the witness. The substance is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, it's a very simple verse. It's coming out of faith is the substance of hope, the evidence of the unseen. Right? So if your faith is of the substance of Jesus Christ, because you have set your hope on Jesus Christ, then the evidence is that your soul will be anchored behind the veil in the presence of God. If your spirit man is receiving of the substance of the most holy, then you will know realities in the name of God and you can live by them. Just as Jesus did. He made statements like, I can see what you're doing, Father. That comes because his spirit man was manifested in the Holy of Holies. Are you with me? That's why he could make a statement like that. I do what I see the Father doing. That means he could see what the Father was doing. Are you with me? And the reason why he could see what the Father was doing is because his spirit was consecrated to God. Now, today we think that we can just move on anointings and build ministries. It's become very common teaching in the church that all we have to learn, teach people is to go out and just function in the anointing. Very dangerous teaching. Because the anointing is meant to be holy unto God. The anointing is to be holy unto God. This anointing manifests from within the temple of our being. Our being is a temple. The reason why we are called a temple is God is trying to illustrate the fact that you can only belong to God if you are holy unto Him. That without this reality of being holy unto God, nothing can be sustained. Alright. So, this continual bread, this continual bread is the bread of the presence. So what is it illustrating to you? That you and I can be in the presence of God continually. And that refers to our soul, man. You know, many times we talk about the soul in very derogatory terms. Your soul is part and parcel of your being. Right? What you need to understand is that God means for your soul to be anchored behind the veil. And as you learn how to realize that, and it's not difficult. As you learn how to set your hope on Jesus, you will realize the rest that will enable you to be anchored behind the veil. It'll automatically happen, guys. Because all that is a product of God's grace. Grace upon grace. People who don't realize these things often don't realize these things because they want God to do what they want him to do. Instead of trying to realize something through Jesus Christ, they try to realize something in their own righteousness. And that's when you go round and round and round and round the merry-go-round, right? Just like the Jews went round the wilderness for 40 years until they dropped dead. So many million Christians just go round and round and round and round and round until they drop dead. I'm not saying they don't have salvation. But what I'm saying is that, you know, they don't realize what God has for them. Simply because they are focused on problems, and they think that by focusing on problems, you know, as long as they have a God of solutions to problems, that they can progress. You can't, because in this world that we live in, there is always a problem. No matter what happens to you, there will be a problem. Get promoted, you have a problem. Have another child, you have also a problem. Right? Get married, you have a problem. Get a new job, you have a problem too. Right? Which means to say that is not the solution. It's not that you can't get a new job and can't get married and you can't have children. But you need to realize these realities as you are strengthened in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you will grow from stature to stature, from glory to glory. And God will equip you to take the high pressure jobs. God will equip you to work supernaturally. God will equip you to draw from Him supernaturally. Right? In this world of high technology, what is the real success story? The ideas, right? And how many ideas does God have? But the church has not tapped upon that. We still are chasing our own tails. We want to be brilliant like the people of the world, and we turn around and we look just like them, and nobody is impressed. But God wants us to look like Him. He wants to bring forth His brilliance. He wants to bring forth His abilities through you. And the continual bread is telling you something, that you can live and function by God continually. And that is a rest. Yes. You can only do that if you're resting in God, because God is going to be doing things that you can't do. God is going to be doing things you don't even understand. God is going to be leading you into things that you can't see. And unless you rest in Him, you can't realize these things. So the continual bread deals with your soul. And there is a battle that is being fought. And God is saying, I am your banner. And in the process of taking you through from battle to battle, I'm establishing inside of you the reality that I am. And when you know I am, and you see the victories that I take you through, as you see my power manifest in your character, your nature, in the things you do, in how I move circumstances in order to teach you a lesson, then you will realize how powerful I am. But most of us are not sensitive to God. Even when God does something for us, we're not sensitive to how He has done it. We forget the lesson and we keep going around and round and round in circles. So we'll stop here and we'll talk about the bread of the Most Holy in the future. But you know, you need to understand something, that resting in God comes as you learn how to live your life. Huh? You have to learn how to rest in God in the things you do every day. So if you don't do anything in your life, you're not going to find out what it means to rest in God. So where are you working? If you're a student, you're working in your studies. And God is inviting you. Why don't you learn how to study by resting in me? So we work in the offices, we work in professions, and God is inviting us. Why don't you discover what it means to rest in me? But to learn how to function in God, you have to start from basics, okay? Because God starts with basic things. All right? And he then builds step by step by step. Many of us don't like that. We want to start at the top. You cannot start at the top. You have to start from the bottom. So when I was born again, I learned how to start from the bottom. Everything had to be built brand new. I understood that instinctively. But everything had to be rebuilt. Now I had 2 degrees after my name. Held a good job. Had money in the bank. Had no debt on the balance sheet. And I had to learn how to live again. I had to learn how to live brand new. I knew that because my life was a mess before that. I had no purpose, no nothing. And I knew instinctively that that was not the answer. To go back and try and build things out of my own life was not what it was all about. I instinctively knew that whatever it is that God had, it was all in the name of Jesus. And immediately my first thought was to discover who this Jesus Christ is, because I could remember from my Sunday school days this one verse that said, you can do all things in His name. And I said, what does that mean? What does that mean? And so today, I'm still looking for that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can receive anything in His name. That's what it's all about. I have to learn how to rest in the name of Jesus. If I rest in the name of Jesus, I will rest in the reality of God and I will realize what God has for me. And it's very exciting to find out what God has for me. I want to rest in God because I know that struggling and working hard is not what it's all about. Now don't get me wrong. I do work very hard in my ministry, but I rest in God. I rest and I work hard. I rest and I work hard. I spend time in the Lord every day. My thoughts are anchored on the Lord every day. In everything that I do, I'm anchored on the Lord. I look at my children, I look at my wife, I look at them in the Lord. It's a whole new perspective of life, and I rest in Him. There are, of course, times when I do my own thing and I learn the lessons the hard way. But in principle, I've learned already that I have to rest in Him. That if He asks me to do something in the ministry and start from basics, I will start from basics. If He shows me someone with great potential, I will sit with that person and I will spend time with that person from basics. Because you can't build without the right basics. It's stupid to think you can build pie in the sky. So everything has to be rebuilt. The moment you come alive to Jesus Christ, everything has to be rebuilt in a new way. You have to learn how to speak differently. You have to learn how to think differently. You have to learn how to behave differently. You have to learn how to act differently. You have to learn how to work differently. You have to learn different attitudes, different ways of relating to people, different ways of looking at another person. Everything is new, guys. Yeah? To realize this, you have to learn, right, to come to rest in Him, all right? And there's so much to receive, so much. Shall we pray? Father, we bless You and thank You that You are Yahweh Mukdesh, Father, the Lord God who sanctifies us. And how wonderful it is to hear that You will sanctify us, Lord. How wonderful it is to hear, O God, that that sanctification is in substance. And that substance is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, we can understand immediately, Father, that we can all be holy. All we have to do is to realize of the substance of Jesus Christ. And to realize of the substance of Jesus Christ, we simply have to set our hope on Him. And the great skill that we have is this ability to set our hope on Jesus in every situation and circumstance of our life, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. That we can do this as we put those thoughts, O God, that desire, O God, before You. And Your Holy Spirit, Lord, will enable that realization. And when we realize something, O God, in Christ Jesus, it is a new reality. When we realize in Christ Jesus the substance of His fullness, one of the first things that come into our hearts, O God, is the reality of a new life. A peace, Lord. A peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that proclaims that we are resting in You, Father. A peace that proclaims that in some aspect of our life, a victory has been won. In some aspect of our life, a breakthrough has been made. A new reality is forming itself within us. A new reality that is sustained by Yahweh Makadesh. A new reality that comes from You, a new reality, O God, that is sustained in Your grace and in Your mercy. How blessed are we, O Lord, to be called sons of God. How blessed are we, O God, to have the realization of the bread of the holy in our souls, Father. That we can be continually, O God, in Your presence. What an awesome privilege that people like us, taken out of a sinful world, taken out in sin, Father, are cleansed and brought into a reality that we can be continually in Your presence. What an amazing reality, Father. We want to give You glory. We want to give You honor. We want to give You worship and praise. Thank You, Father, for what You have given us in Jesus' name. Amen.